Okay, the Siyata Deshmaya. Today, what we're doing is the second topic of Shigia, as per focusing on the definitions of Garf Katum, and then we'll get to the Siyata Deshmaya. We'll get to the halachos of Smicha. These halachos of Garf Katum are going to be universal in the following sense. If you hold that Shihiyah requires Garf HaKatum, as we saw last time, according to the first opinion of the Mechaber, so we have to know what Garf HaKatum means. And if you hold that Shihiyah does not need Garf HaKatum, but Hachzara does need Garf HaKatum, so we need to define what is Garf HaKatum. So let's take a look at Rashi's descriptions. So if you take a look in the Mishnah, here, I think a lot of this really starts within the nuance in the language of the Rishonim. So, what is the Mishnah had said? Lo yitein at sheigroif by sheitein es ha'efes. It says Rashi at sheigroif until you go reif means to shovel hagachol mishum demois of hevel, that you shovel away the gacholim because they add heat. So, according to Rashi, you're removing it because they add heat. O at sheyitein efer, or to cover them. Garuf means to shovel away. And likdom mitas haver agabi acholim lechasosam ulitzaninam. I think that's an important extra word in Rashi, ulitzaninam, that not only are you covering it, but it's there to cool it off. The Rambam in your booklet seems to have a different position. The Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalit, says, Shari ain sham gacholim baros halmeiz and muter v'shos aleha. Rambam who says that even need garf hakatum by shihiyah. Shari is siach adaitum mizah tavshil ve'ain gozrin shem yichata be'eish. He's mesiach das from the tavshil. So it seems like according to the Rambam, the requirement of garf hakatum is to sort of indicate that you don't intend to cook the normal way. And once you're indicating that you don't intend to cook in the normal way, that is a heker, what we would call a heker. And once you have that heker, then that's going to be enough to remove the chash of shem yichata b'gacholim. The Rajba elaborates on this, on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and the Rajba says that the shita of the Rambam is as follows. In the Kol Mokom, the Inyan Goref, Mirim Me Rishalmi, the Rishalmi seems to say that you need to be Goref, Shutzarek Ligrof Ligamri, Achal Yisharva Esh Klav. That when it comes, the opinion of the Rishalmi is that you need to scoop it, you need to scoop away the coals until there isn't any fire at all. V'im Tomar, and then he asks a fascinating kasha. If you hold that the halacha is garuf, is that you just need to move some of them just to create some type of heker, so then in such a case, then I understand why betanur, there are some that are left. And therefore, by a tanur, we're more concerned about shem yichata, because you can heat it up a lot faster, so even if most of the coals are removed, some of them are going to come to bichote. But if the idea of goref means that you're shoveling it up and then you're moving everything, so then how is it going to remove it? So he understands that the Rambam in Halacha Vav answers that question. We'll see that Rambam inside shortly. Pirush Rambam di shi'iyav shishlo yishroi bo yitzoyt achat u'mimenu roi lachtos u'lahasik. The Rambam is saying, says that we're concerned that even though you have to remove everything, maybe you left something. And with an oven, you could resuscitate it. With an oven, you could resuscitate the fire, and that is the concern. The Rajba continues with Vart Tzrichanan Lomar, the Bekira Grufa Yitiru Pnei She'afal Pishnishu Bami Tzotzos. But according to the Rambam, you have to say that even though there is some that's left, Mitoch Shahavol Amuat Einu Rui L'Sham Bami Tzotzos Miyotan Hashem V'lo Yodaitei V'lo Asi L'Chtuyei. So the Rambam's position is as follows, that you don't remove all of it. It's not possible, according to the Rambam. And by a tanur, you're going to be choshesh, that the little bit that's left, you're going to come to be chote. You're going to come to stoke. However, if we're talking about akira, so then akira, there's only a little bit that's left when you were gore, and we're not concerned, you're going to come to be chote b'gacholim. So the way the Raj represents it, I think, works very nicely the way we had read the Rambam's requirement of Garif the Katan in regards to Shehiya. He said the whole idea was, the idea of focusing now on Katum, we saw that the Rambam says that when you cover it, it's just to indicate that you're not going to be Mechata B'Gachalim. And therefore, the Rajba says that even though the Rambam says you can never remove all the coals, even if you're Gorev, but once you remove most of them for Akira, then we're not concerned that you can come to Bichota, because that's enough to remind you when it comes to Grufa. So too, like we had seen by Ketuma, it seems to me that the common theme of whether you're removing the coals or whether you're covering the coals is to create a reminder that you won't come to Bichota. So that's the progression according to the Rajba, and it would seem to me that it fits nicely in the general position of the Rambam. Now this machlokas is a conceptual machlokas. What's the conceptual machlokas? We have the Shita of Rashi, that Rashi said that you have to do katum to the point that it has to be cooled down. Not simply for a heker, but according to Rashi, it has to be cooled down. But the Rambam seems to focus more on the heker part. Beautiful, and I guess not even necessary to read the Rambam and Halacha Vav. We spelled out what the Rambam's Shita is based on the Rajba. But this machlokas is not only a conceptual question: are you cooling it down, or in the case of Katan, or are you simply creating a heker? But it would seem to me this gets involved with a fascinating Shita of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish thinks that our blechs today are a massive problem. The Chazon Ish was not into our blechs. One of his concerns is in terms of whether it qualifies as Garf HaKotum, and another, remind me, because it's not really central to our sugya, remind me to come back that the Chazon Ish is going to have an added concern, which makes a lot of sense to me, of adding a blef on Shabbos that we'll remember to get to. But we're going to focus first on the fundamental issue about what is the definition of Garf HaKotum. Yes?
Are you saying that from Rashi, Garif is for cooling them down, not just Katum?
What's that?
Are you saying that for Rashi, Garif as well as...
No, I was focusing on Katum. I was pointing out the Rambam's Lashita, so by both Garif and Katum. I understand why you asked to clarify, because yeah. Okay, good. Do we have an extra booklet?
No, that's the same as the first
one. No, here we go. Here's another one. Thank you. Next one, sorry. Okay, so the Chazon Ish has an interesting sheet. In Lamed Zayin Yud Aleph, continuing on in your booklet, he describes Shia Denod Bar Tzeinu HaKadosha, the Shehiya that's customary to do in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. So he describes a stovetop in Israel 80 years ago. Shepsilas HaEish L'mata Tachas HaPitput. You have basically very similar to our stovetop 10, 15 years ago. And that is, you have the grates, and underneath you have the flame. V'sosin akdera l'mala al pitput, v'esh tachas shuli akdera. Dino kikira she'en grufa. So a stovetop, says the Chazon Ish, is a problem of kira she'en grufa. You're going to have to put something on top. And here comes the chumrah of the Chazon Ish that I think I inquired that to this day, for example, Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita will not use the standard blech that most people use, in other words, an aluminum sheet on top of the fire and or on top of the knobs. And he says, "Va'af im ma'amidin pachsho matechet u'mesim in akdera v'toch hapach mikol mokom l'choshev kidin nosen kidera rekanes al akira." So there is a very strong parallel to our blech that's not found in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't talk at all anything about a metal slab that you're putting on top. But a parallel case to that is the case that we spoke about last week, that the Agos Mardachi in Siv Gimel speaks about your food that's burning, and you turn over a Kedera Reikonis on top. So says the Chazon Ish, no. That's not a metal slab that conducts heat very, very well. We're talking about Kedera Reikonis. We're talking about, in those days, a clay dish. If you put a clay dish on top of a fire, so then, not a gas fire, a fire that's made by kashu gvava, so then you're going to diminish the heat significantly. Clay on top of a fire that's made from kashu gvava or gefes ve'etzim, so that's going to diminish the fire, and that is going to be significant. However, he goes on to say, If we're talking about something like metal, which conducts heat well, that is not considered a blef at all, and it's going to be a problem. And he brings a brilliant raya from Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi Gaba, actually, let's take a look at that Gemara, because that Gemara is going to come back at the end of today. The fascinating Gemara and the nuances and pshat are amazing. But let's do the most basic part of the Gemara. The Gemara now has a shayla. Are you allowed to be somech? Are you allowed to do smicha on a fire? Tocha, that's not covered. Tocha the gaba aser. You can't put the food directly inside. Avolismocha shapir dummy. You can't put it inside or on top. Okay. So we're going to have a big discussion in Rishonim. What are we talking about? Shihi or Achzara and so on. That's going to get involved in sugya smicha. But here, Rashi says, when it's not covered, tocha the gaba is aser. So Rashi learns, what is gabo? That you're not allowed to put the pot without garf v'katum on top. Ove svasa. So akira was something akin to what a cinder, we have a cinder block today. Think of a cinder block, and you have two holes. The fire is inside the two holes, and you would have two places where you could put the pot on top. So Rashi doesn't just say that you're putting the pot on top. Rashi says, there's a hole over there. So according to Rashi, he says, "Oh, kisui shal chalala." They would put a slab on top of it, and that the Gemara said, "Asur." That's going to be asur. So says the Chazanish, "What's the pshat in Rashi?" Rashi holds that you put a simple slab on top, that's not going to be enough. When did Agos Mordechi say that you could put something on top and that's going to qualify as a blef? He was talking about a thick utensil. He was talking about a plate, a clay plate. So then in such a case, that's going to be mutter. But a slab that's put on top, it's mefurish in the Rashi that's going to be a problem. That's the Chazonish's Raya from Rashi, Lamed Zayin Aleph. That's quite an interesting Raya. Okay, so if that's so, so the Chazon Ish says that the only way you're allowed to cover the fire is something that clearly diminishes the heat. The Minhag HaOlam is generally not this way. The Minhag HaOlam is not this way. The Minhag HaOlam is to say that one does not need to diminish the heat. And the reason for that, by the way, Rav Moshe, I'll deal with shortly the rejection, the svaras to reject. But Lechura, before we go on to the svaras that reject, Lechura, I want to suggest that this would be the Rambam and Rashi Lashitasam. That Rashi over here was the one who said that you need to cover it in order to katum was to diminish the heat. So then it makes sense that Rashi Lashitasa, when he talks about Al Gaba, he says Al Gaba is going to be usur even if you have a slab on top that you didn't diminish the heat. But from Rambam, is mashna that the primary din is a din of a heker, to create a heker. And then in such a case, halacha would be that, according to Rambam, it would be mutter. What about the shita of the Chazon Ish? So why is it that we're makel? So there is an interesting give and take between Rav Ozner. Rav Ozner came to Bnei Brak when the Chazon Ish was still alive. And they did have many interactions. So Rav Ozner quotes from a letter that the Chazon Ish wrote back to him. In that letter, the Chazon Ish doesn't back down from his position. But in that same tshuva, in Simen Sadi Aleph, Rav Ozner tries to be melamed zchus for Klal Yisrael. He says on page Pevav in your booklet, Lamed zchus al Yisrael, the minhagam Torah, he near the vadit shivus divrei agos marichi married the mishum ha gufa the esh mechusa who the hitter after chom nishar kibetchila the in garf katum einlon b'chom klum kima the ikra mishum chash titui. If when it comes to garf katum you're removing the chash titui by rei, and then he quotes the Magen Avraham. So if it's not normal to be there, then it should serve as a removal of the chash titui. In other words, the whole point, argues the Shevet HaLevi, is not about diminishing the heat. The Shevet HaLevi doesn't here deal with the Rashi. That Rashi does seem to support that idea that it's about diminishing the heat. But the Hagos Mardefi, if you look at the Hagos Mardefi, it's about creating a heker. And once it's about creating a heker, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. And therefore, he says, the case of Rashi on Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph was a normal slab. That was talking about what normally was put on top of the Kira. So then Rashi says that even though it's covered, it's not going to work. But when it came to the case of Agos Mardechi, Agos Mardechi was talking about turning over a dish. That's not normal. That serves as a heker. So Rashi, it could be, you could argue, if you read like the Chazon Ish, then Rashi is Lishit also. But Rashi doesn't have to be saying that over there that you need to diminish the heat. Rashi is just describing what was the normal manner that there is the sheen with. But if you follow Agos Mardechi, you turn over a plate, even if the plate is not a thick clay plate. As long as the plate is not normal to be there, that is going to be enough. So that is the standard mahalach. Rav Ozner is matzik, the minig ha'olam. Rav Moshe in a tshuva that we're going to spend a lot of time on probably on Thursday in Chelek Aleph Aruch Hayim Simen Sadi Gimel also clearly understands that the whole role of chitui, the whole role of the garf hakatan is to remove the chash chitui with the heker, and this Chazon Ish is only followed by a few. Most people follow the lenient opinion. The Chazon Ish also says something else that's very, very important to be aware of. And that is, and here I think the Chazon Ish Shita, years ago I discussed this with the Rebbe Zal Shlita, and it's quoted in the Shmur Shabbos Kilchasa, and many people are not aware of it. Even if you hold that a metal sheet would be an acceptable blef, to put metal down on fire on Shabbos is a shayla of mavir. The Rambam in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis describes hamechavim es habarzel kedei l'tzarfa hareza mavir v'chayim. So Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa makes reference to it in his sefer, and it's really the source of it, the one who really made it sort of famous nowadays. Not famous in general circles, but in halachic circles, was the Chazon Ish in that same piece. In the end of Lamed Zayin Yud Aleph, in the brackets, he says, Niradafke kederi yishal cheres yishana mutalitein al shamatecha shirikonis yesh lochush lebishel. He says that aside from the issue of conducting heat, so and that you're not doing garb v'katam, you have a chshasha bishel. Lanias daiti, one should be choshesh for that position. It's a shayla l'doraisa mecharvim es habarzel, that heating up metal, and the metal gets extremely hot, and that definitely can qualify as halachic esh according to the Rambam's position, which is the base in the Gemara, Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Take a look at the Nosei Kelim over there. And therefore, even if we're going to hold a blech is okay, you have to put that blech on before Shabbos. You can't put that blech on Shabbos itself. Was the Chazon Ish not aware of this idea that it's a heker? So, Rav Karp in Hilchos Shabbos Peshabbos on page Kuf Tzadites says the Chazon Ish was well aware of that position of Heker, but he argues that the Chazon Ish felt that even if you're going to say that it's a Heker, it's a weak Heker. And he explains what he means. Let's take a look on page Kuf Tzadites. V'hine har v'hikshah al-Chazon Ish. There are many who ask on the Chazon Ish that the Chazon Ish said that when it came to Agos Mordechi, so there he said that you have to put on a plate. And so the question was, no, it's not to break the heat. All Agos Mardechi was saying is to create a shinun. To load on the kisui shal gavikir, the sham derech habishul kach, al gavikishu adero, sein lo mahani, mashen kishinos and pas matefet, l'hasuk and eshuk deru, kim shen aderech tam l'vashu kach, mahani esek. The crux of the argument is that it's not normal to cook on top of a blech. It's true. It doesn't diminish the heat very much, but it's not normal. Once it's not normal, Chazon Ish, you're not going to agree with me that that's enough. That's what Rav Karp quotes. So I had to take where I said it's based on Rashi Lushitasa. So Rav Karp is saying, even if you understand that the Chazon Ish is not based on the Rashi, you always have to diminish the heat. He wants to time it that even if the Vart in the Chazon Ish is that it's all about creating a shinui, he wants to say that this is not enough of a shinui. Well, in Niyaz Daiti Kozeeno, the Chazal, Bigzer Schitu, Lo Asur Dafkes Abishal, Elasachim mal gabeish. The iser is not just the bishul; it's of course heating it up, and therefore v'chemuchrach b'gemara debar mal lismoch. We'll skip that. Raya umuchrach mizeh. Punchline is umuchrach mizeh. Because lo asa ma'ase b'gufa eish. He holds that the Chazon Ish's position is that it's not enough to create an exterior change to the fire. It has to be an interior change. Both Garif and Katim are interior changes. In contrast to putting something on top, that is not an interior change. So therefore, if you're going to make it that there's something on top that's diminishing the heat, fine, that's going to be okay. But if you're putting something on top, even though it's not normal to cook, but it's not a shinui in the eish, there has to be, the Chazon Ish claims shita is that there has to be a shinui in the eish. And since you're not doing a shinui in the eish, then that's not enough of a riot. What is that internal svara? I think he thinks that you're not doing the gzera of chazal. The gzera of chazal was a shinui in the fire itself. And the moment in which you're not doing that, so then you're not doing garfu katam. It would be a low plug.
Like putting up a sign with your...
Exactly, putting up a sign is not helpful, right? Put up a sticky is not enough. In other words, you have to cover it, and if you're not covering, then it's going to be a problem. So Rav Karp explains a little bit more. I wanted to tie in that there's another svara in the Chazon Ish that works very well, the chumra for shita is Rashi. But even if you don't understand them as being, he just brought a raya from Rashi. I developed into a shita of Rashi. Even if you understand that it's not only based on Rashi, but it's based on he agrees that the chashash shemi yichater and a heker is going to be enough. There is a halacha of how that heker needs to be created. And as Rebelli pointed out, everybody agrees that not all hekers are going to work. So if you hold it, not all hekers work. So then you got to go back to Garfa Kotum. Garfa Kotum is this particular phenomenon. Unless you put something on so thick where it's not even very hot anymore, then that goes smart if you will say that that's mutter. Yes?
I heard the last thing the Shabbos saying in the Chazon Ish, but if you say that it's going in the heat, how do you understand? I didn't see the Chazon Ish inside, but how do you understand the Gemara Ketuma Bevora, that it got relit again, and it's the same heat?
So the Gemara is saying that once you've done that heker, so then that will be enough to remind you. In other words, the heker in which you diminish the heat, so then that's enough to be mamshich.
Even if the heat came back to its regular.
Correct. Okay. That would be the chiddush of the Gemara. That would be the chiddush of the Gemara. Yeah.
Can you explain if the Mordechai thinks that you need a heker? So why is cooling it off enough going to work?
Why is cooling?
You need to have a very thick black. So this one has a heker, but you said it cools it off enough.
Right.
So why does it work? Meaning if the whole goal is to create a heker, why does it cooling off also work?
Oh, well, that would be Shitas Rashi. That when you've created a situation where it's no longer the normal form of cooking because the heat is diminished, so then that will remind you not to be chotev
gachal. But it's another Mordechai passing the Rabbah.
What's that?
Doesn't it sound like Mordechai is passing at the Rambam that you need a heker?
Maybe not. Maybe he's saying that by diminishing the heat that's enough. No, everybody, even Rashi says that at the end of the day it's to remove the chashash shem yichate b'chalom. But how do you need to remove the shem yichate b'chalom? By diminishing the heat or just creating stam the heker? That's going to be the machlokes for sure. And that goes Mordechai. You could explain according to both of those positions. Okay, so this is in regards to the shita of the Chazon Ish. The more relevant question that many people raise is what needs to be covered. From the Gemara, you have the case of covering the coals. So there's a famous machlokes between Rav Moshe Zatzal and Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal. That Rav Eyer quotes in his Sefer. Rav Moshe, you could see in that Tshuva in Sadi Gimel. Rav Moshe says that the ikar to cover is the fire itself. And he adds that matohu manoyim in a oven, which is more chomer than a stove, if you cover the oven itself, then that, the knobs itself, then that would be better. That's Rav Moshe in Dibra Maskul Fi Zeh. Rabbi Eyer also has this very, very clearly in his Sefer. Rabbi Eider Sefer is excellent at sort of Now it's an old print and it's not as without pictures and so on and so forth. But Rabbi Eyer has a schlus of the first one who really wrote halacha in vernacular. It's a tremendous schlus that he has. An alumnus of our yeshiva that's been erased. Do you guys know that? I'm not sure. But I believe he learned by Rav Nissen Alperin. I'm quite sure it was more than that. I'm quite sure, but I'm not positive. Zatzal, the writer, passed away a few years ago. Not such an old man. So he was the first one who. He learned how to write English there. So that was all he needed. So his farm are very, very important. So he made famous that this is when he went to Lakewood, he was, I would imagine Rav Aaron was no longer alive when he came to Lakewood. It's a close call. But either way, he quotes Rav Aaron. My brother learned in Lakewood for many, many years, and he said he felt like Rav Aaron was his Rosh Yeshiva. So 5 years ago, he felt so. That's a very, very special thing. So he came to Yeshiva. So Rabbi Eider maybe didn't hear it from Rav Aaron himself, but that was in the 60s, certainly Kabbalah Chomer. So Rav Aaron was a disagreement with Rav Moshe. Rav Aaron learned that in many ways Rav Aaron Cutler's position is clear, and that is that you have to cover the knobs. And once you cover the knobs, that's okay. The crux of that, because how are you chote the gafalim? You chote with the knobs. You're not chote on the stove top. You're not chote with the fire. That would get involved, possibly, with the svar that Rav Karp had mentioned. Do you need to make a shinui on the fire itself, because kach gozru chazal? Or do you need to make a shinui on the source of being chotah. Of course, the crux of the problem is that in the time of Chazal, the fire and the knobs were the exact same place. Now that you have them separate, so what are you supposed to do? I would highly recommend to be choshesh for both shittas. Rav Moshe doesn't say there's anything wrong with covering the knobs. Clearly, one adjusts the fire with the knobs. So I would recommend to cover both. And therefore, if there are some blacks that are just a metal slab, I would encourage buying ones that are metal slab that cover. If the knobs are on the vertical part of the stove, so then to have the metal as well as something going down in a 90 degree angle that covers the knobs as well. Yes.
When do you take off the knobs so you can't actually turn them?
Luchura, that would be fine. Yes.
But even for a Moshe, that should be fine. No. And is Moshe only saying that when you have chashash of litoy, then you need a cover?
That's a very good question. I did not think about that question. I'm not sure. Particularly if it's very easy to replace the knobs and then just turn it on. And of course, by the way, other coverings would be okay as well. It doesn't have to be the metal slab. If the person put tape or something like that as well. The real machlokus was that Rav Aaron felt that you could be makel, that once you cover the knobs, that would be okay. The minute Ha'olam, I don't think they even follow that in Lakewood. The minute Ha'olam is to cover both. Yeah, okay. So that's in regards to that cover. There is a very important shita, yes?
For Rav Aaron's shita, if you're covering, this is katum, would like a sticky note work for this one? Because it's not really the same thing as covering a stove.
You're
putting something on an knob to show you're not turning it.
I don't think he would allow because kotum means to cover. And therefore he would require a cover.
Even though it's not at all the same way that it was.
And that comes back also to the point. I don't believe there would be anybody that would be matir just to remove the knobs and not to cover. You gotta do what Chazal said. So removing the knobs would seem to me is a shaila. I would like to look to see if there's more literature about it, but it would seem to me that there needs to be an active kotum. Yes.
I was just wondering about the matias of this glass. Just because lately I've seen hot plates.
Oh, we're going to get there.
Okay.
I know. We're not lemaisa, right? We're still sticking our heads in bricks with fire and. And you're talking about my grandmother's glass, and we're not talking about anything that's relevant today. I'm sympathetic. We'll get there, but see after this round. One thing at a time. You're 100% right now. Yes.
Thank you, Rabbi. talks about taking off and out.
And what does he say? He says
that
he's Mako. Okay. Shkach. Yeah, Shkach. He's Mako. Wait. Mako taking off the knobs with the fire uncovered?
Probably. No, I think he quotes a Moshe in our color.
Okay.
He says to be mouth of your bullet, but I think I remember the picture of the
Knobs off and fire uncovered?
Fire covered.
Okay. So I was only talking about fire uncovered. In other words, would Rav Aaron Cutler say that you could have the fire uncovered and the knobs removed? So that I think would be quite mechudash. Because then you're not doing anything of the original takana. So you would need a source that would say that says that even if you don't do Garif HaKatum, if a person's not going to come to do it, then it's going to be mutter. And that source I'm not aware of. It could be it's out there. I'm just not aware of. And please inform me. If we're talking about that the fire is covered and you remove the knobs, so then Eina Chanami, then I think that you're totally, that's totally fine. Because then you've done the Ikur HaKatum. And the Minigolim is the follower of Moshe in general. So you've done the Ikur HaKatum. And now it's just that Lamaisa, the knobs are accessible, so you make them inaccessible, it should be fine. Yes, sorry.
So that
is kidding.
So you don't really need to actually cover the flame
up.
Like either or count as
cover. So it's Gishmak. The Rambam's Lishitasa. Right. The Rambam, we saw that the Rajba says that the entire Chashash is all about creating, the only Chashash is Shemichat if you don't have a Heker. Right. So the moment in which you have a Heker, that's going to be enough. So the Rambam works out very nicely. Yeah.
Is there a way to do that? Is that possible?
What Ari is pointing out is as follows. A low fire and a high fire is a fire. And it's not Ammosagachalam. Ammosagachalam means that you
fires are still like that.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not aware of anybody applying that Lamaisa today. But again, if there is, please let me know. Mati, I'm gonna talk about the hot plate without talking about the hot plate. We're gonna get to hot plate because it's a world by itself. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Sefer Maor Shabbos. In other words, a letter of his is quoted. We'll talk about Rav Shlomo Zalman's pesukim on a few different things. Number one, he says that aluminum foil does not serve as a blast. So let's say you have a case of where the hot plate would be a problem, let's say, in theory. The hot plate was a problem, particularly, let's say, we're talking about a West Bend, okay? One of those hot plates with also a adjustable knobs. So then, by simply putting a aluminum foil, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that that doesn't qualify as a hefker. His lashon is, it could be people use a lot of times aluminum foil to protect the heating element from getting dirty, from spills and so on. So Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that in general, aluminum does not qualify as a blech. Doesn't qualify as a blech. Now, if you have the blech already covered with something else, the fire covered with the blech already, and you're using the aluminum to cover the knobs, then I think there's room to be mako. But as a primary in place of the metal to use aluminum, that might be a problem. So coming back, Mati, without talking about why would be machmer or why would be mako on a hot plate, if we're talking about a hot plate that requires a blech, let's say you're following the poskim that say that it needs and so on, Shlomo Zalman would hold that an aluminum would not be enough. So, for example, in our house, in the instances when you need to cover it with something, we wouldn't put down a piece of aluminum foil. We would put down a slab of metal, like a tray, and so on and so forth. But aluminum foil doesn't qualify.
What about an aluminum pan, like a tin?
Oh, aluminum tin would be fine, because that's not put down, that's not called an nikayon. But aluminum foil was often, you would put aluminum foil, right? In the yeshiva, they have the hot plates covered, the plata covered. Throughout the week, the plata is covered with aluminum. Why? Because there are many, many spills. That's the etzem, the raya, that's a raya to this. Just to see other positions of Rav Shlomo Zalman from our great Rebbe. So if you take a look at the bottom of the Yitzchak Ikare, by the way, I'm on cloud 9 because Baruch Hashem, they're allowing people into Rav Nevenzal's house within Kapsulot. I was there this past Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. And Eli, you'll be happy to hear that he thought that there would be room to be Makel on, you'll be happy also, five, or not happy actually, tuna fish, he thought there's a lot of room to be Makel to make tuna fish straight up, because mayonnaise, like he himself quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that mayonnaise is not considered Dover Agoba. So simply adding it in is really adding for taste. My first time, I was able to see him, so I was just mitragesh. I wasn't in the mood to start fighting with him then. But I think it's what my Rebbe is saying is quite a chiddush. But the point is, what he mentioned, the Yitzchak Ikare, he said, Ken yechol yot, that's mutter. He said, Ken, and then he added a little bit afterwards, he said, yechol yot.
No shina.
That comes out with a shina.
But by an oil, he would say, he shouldn't eat it.
Right, oil is not added for. Okay, so if you take a look, what's acceptable? So he said, Gaz. It's about halfway through the page. The Yitzchak Ikare on the Ha'aros. Gaz Nolgu Shekisu Af Ha'esh Betach Machshim Lekirav Duma. He says our custom is that's acceptable. He writes in another place that according to the Chazon Ish, it would not be acceptable. So he was machriya, based on Rav Shlomo Zalman, they were machriya. That's mutter. Yesh makpidin l'chasosim gamis ha-kaftorim. Some have akbada to cover the knots. And here he quotes it as a chumra from Ramosha, even though Ramosha was talking about the tanurim. He doesn't make reference to Rav Aaron Cutler. Bad mor zal lo hutzruch l'zeh. Rav Shlomo Zalman was not machmir for this. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that all you need is to cover the fire, and that's enough. So it's not only Rav Moshe was makel, Rav Shlomo Zalman is makel. So let's say you're stuck in a situation where you're on a tiyul, in other words, you're away for Shabbos, and you're in a tzimmer, and the only cover that you have is a metal cover that's going to cover it. In such a case, the halacha would be that it's mutter. There is a beautiful chumrah. I know chumrahs generally are not beautiful, but there is a beautiful chumrah in Svara. It's so misameh. It's classic Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos Kilt. It's in the Shmir Shabbos Kilt as well as Rav Nevenzal Ha'aretz. But let's see it how it was first written in the Shmir Shabbos Kilt. So a couple pages later, after the Yitzchak Yikareis, so you have a Shmir Shabbos Kilt, so page Chav Zayin in the old editions, five lines from the bottom. Rav Shlomo Zalman says the following. He says, whenever you put up the blech, Rabosai, and this comes up often, whenever you put up the blech, you're not supposed to move the knobs afterwards. Because if we move the knobs afterwards, we're making a whole joke out of the blech. The whole point of the blech is to remind us not to turn the knobs. That's the whole point. It's supposed to prevent for chitu gacholim. So if you constantly do chitu gacholim when the blech is up, so you've undermined it. So this is a geshmak of chumrah. This chumrah makes a lot of sense. Take a look, four lines from the bottom. Oda meliya grashaz. V'yesh lahakvid, lo lahagdil esh achrei shenyecha azbat. Dimloke mistavr dein zeh hashu ketum. El rak kisui ba'alma. It's only a kisui ba'alma, and that's not going to work. And he makes reference to a mishabura. So that seems to make sense to me. A lot of people are not careful about it. So therefore, let's say when it comes to a crackpot, we're going to discuss a crackpot in terms of Atmana and a crackpot in terms of Shihia and Achzara. So what I would recommend if however you take care of Atmana on the crackpot and so on, but when it comes to the knobs, when people who are machmir to cover the knobs already after you're finished making the adjustment of low, medium, or high. After you've already, like for many people, you start off high on Erev Shabbos and then you switch to low an hour before Shabbos. So I would recommend not to put the cover on the knob until afterwards, because then if you hold, you need to cover the knob, so then in such a case, it should be done afterwards. Otherwise, you're being mevatel the entire svara for the ketumah. Now you could disagree with Rav Shlomo Zalman, not you, but you and I could not disagree. But someone could, big enough could disagree with Rav Shlomo Zalman and could say no. That the point is that on Shabbos it's there to remind you. During the week you were reminded, and you said I don't care because it's a weekday. You could hold differently. But Rav Shlomo Zalman's understanding is that the ketumah is there. The ketumah is there to cover, and the ketumah is there to show that you're not being mechata de gacholim, and if you're going to go be mechata de gacholim anyhow, so then that's undermining it. Okay, I find it a fascinating svarah. Okay, Rabosai, we now begin a very fascinating pshat sugya, which becomes halacha lemaisa, and that is the sugya of smicha. We're finally going back to inside the Shulchan Aruch. Everything we've been discussing now has just been defining what Shia and Rufa and Ketuma are, and now we finally get into the nitty gritty. So, the halacha is that Shihia, according to the first day of the Shulchan Aruch, requires Grufa and Ketuma, and according to the second day in the Shulchan Aruch, does not. Now, we're in the first day on page 40, and that says that even Shehiyah needs Grufa and Ketuma, and the Mechaber then says as follows. It's by Os Tesvav in the Mishnah Brura. You have the following. Vafilu ena grufa, one line above. Vafilu ena grufa ketuma, even if the fire is not garfa katum, mutter lismoch lakder basamach chutzala. You're allowed to do smicha. Smicha is mutter. If you're not putting it directly on the fire, but close to the fire, in such a case, that's going to be permissible. Now here, this is a shaila of the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks the question we saw before. Mao lismochba, are you allowed to be somech? So the Gemara says, tocha v'gaba aser. To put inside, that's going to be aser. So the Rif points out, what must we be talking about? We must be talking about a case, what would it be aser if it's tocha v'gaba? So says the Rif, tocha v'gaba means that we're saying shehiya is aser. And the Gemara Shaila is, when Shehiya is Aser, Mao Lismochba, what's the halacha in regards to Smicha? So Shehiya is Aser, but is Smicha going to be, is it going to be permissible? That's how the Rif reads the Gemara, and he actually uses it for a raya, that Shehiya is going to require Grufa and Ketuma. So, within the Rif, it works very nicely. The halacha is that Shehiya is Aser, but the Gemara now has a shaila in regards to smicha. And smicha is going to be mutter. Now here, all of the Olam HaTorah ends up in very different places. This is the way the Rif reads the Gemara. Comes along the Magen Avram, and the Magen Avram says, wait a second. According to the Rif's way of reading the Gemara, does the Gemara give us a heter of smicha? The Gemara gives us a heter of smicha in regards to Shehiya. In other words, if the fire is not Garif V'Katum, then you could put it next to the fire. But what if the fire is not Garif V'Katum and you want to do Hachzara? So that, you don't have a Gemara that says it's Mutter, and you don't have a Shulchan Aruch that says it's Mutter. When does Shulchan Aruch say that it's Mutter? Shulchan Aruch said that it's Mutter only in the context of Shehiya. So now, we can understand the Mishnah Brura in Sifchat and Tezvav. Says the Mishnah Brura, Mutter Lismoch La Yesh Omrim. Who's this Yesh Omrim? It's the Magen Avram. Delo Shemin Hachakim Asmicha Me'er Shabbos Lashosa Mishitevsha. Aval Hachzir B'Shabbos Aser Afilu B'Smicha. But to put it back, that would be Aser B'Smicha. V'rak L'Svara Shnia Hamuskar B'Sof Asif Mutter Afilu B'Chazar Al-Pi'ofan. But if you hold that the halacha is that Shehiya is mutter even without garfa katum inside. So then if the Gemara is talking about putting it next to it, so what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is not talking about Shehiya. The Gemara has to be talking about when it's usur to put on top of it. And it doesn't have garfa katum, then you're wanting the shaila of the Gemara is to put it next to. So what would that be? That would be even in a case of Hachzara, because she is mutter to put inside. Oh. So that's how the Magen Avraham presents. The Magen Avraham presents that the Gemara is going to be read as follows. According to the Rif, Shehiya is going to require Garf the Katum, and therefore the Heter of Hachzara is talking about Shehiya. However, according to those who reject the Rif, so then you could read the Gemara as saying that Shehiya is Mutter. So if Shehiya is Mutter, there's no Shaila of doing Smicha. You don't even have to do Smicha. You could put it right inside without a blef. So what is the Gemara talking about then? The Gemara is talking about Hachzara, and the Gemara is asking whether Smicha is Mutter. And the Gemara seems to conclude that Smicha is Mutter even by Hachzara. So that is according to the Magen Avraham. Aval kam achronim cholkin al zeh. V'daitam d'chazara b'smicha mutter l'kulei alma. The Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees. And this gets involved with how you read Pshat, and you take a look at the Ber Halacha, and so on. And that is that the Gemara Shaila is not in regards to Hachzara. Even Hachzara, when it comes to Smicha is Mutter, but the Shaila is only in regards to Hanocha L'chatchila. In other words, everybody holds that Smicha is going to be Mutter for Hachzara, putting it back when the fire is not covered. You're allowed to put it there, because the Gemara seems to say that Hachzara by Smicha is Mutter, and the only Shaila is going to be by Hanocha L'chatchila. That the Dogma Ravava points out, and the Be'er Halacha points out, is based on the fact that the Gemara seems to be Matir already Hachzara above. The Gemara seems to say that Hachzara is Mutter. So then the Gemara Shaila is not in regards to Hachzara, but rather the Gemara Shaila is in regards to Hanocha L'chatchila. That's spelled out by the Be'er Halacha, the Ramaskal Mutter Lismochla, and he says the Gemara Shaila, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, seems to be correct, that the Gemara Shaila is in regards to Hanocha L'chatchila. And therefore, there is a big discussion about how do we paskin. And the question that's at play is Smicha Mutter, according to the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, by Hachzara? According to the Magen Avraham, the answer is no. It's not going to be Mutter. Smicha is going to be Aser. While according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, Smicha is going to be Mutter even by Hachzara L'kulei Alma. And the Gemara's only Shaila is in regards to Hanocha L'chatchila, but L'kulei Alma Smicha is Mutter when it comes to Hachzara. How do we paskin? So in the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit unclear. He says, "Afilu b'smicha l'chatchila b'shabbos yesh mekilim." There are some who are mako, and Rav Nevinzal told me that you could follow the lenient position. The lenient position of Chalapachos in regards to smicha of Hachzara and possibly even Hanocha l'chatchila. That is still a little bit of an open question, but the Chalapachos, the shita that holds that by Hachzara it's going to be Mutter. So therefore, one does not have to follow the more stringent position of the Magen Avraham, who says that Hachzara is Aser. And this is how Rabbi Eider also paskins. If you take a look, Rabbi Eider breaks it apart in two different pages. One, he talks about, he has a very quite Mesudar. On page 337, he's talking about the halachas of Shehiya, and he says, Smicha, that halachas to be machmir of requiring a blech are only if one places a pot on the fire, page number 10. Or coals, however, a stove which is heated even with peat or coals and is not garf and katum, one may place before Shabbos a pot of food near the stove. You're allowed to put it near the stove, and that is going to be enough, and there's no problem of garf the katum at all. And he uses, then in 11, he uses an example from the Gemara. If two stoves are joined together, but a partition of clay or the like is between them, if one is garfu katum while the other is not, she is permissible on the stove which is garfu katum, even though it derives heat from the stove which is not garfu katum. This is permissible because it's like smicha. It's considered smicha once it's not directly on the side with the fire. So bottom line, the halacha is that you're allowed to put a pot, whether you're returning it to the flame or you're doing shihiyah. He spells out hachzara as well on page 356. You are allowed to put it next to the fire as long as it's not directly on top of it. There is a view which holds on page 356 that smicha is permissible only for shehiyah. That was the Magen Avraham. On Shabbat, Magen Avraham, according to the first opinion, many posts can hold that as permitted even for chazara. Therefore, one may place a pot on the stove opposite the fire, even though it's not garfu katun, even in a place which is yad seledes. Even if a place which is yad seledes is permissible, even if you place the pot down and had no and not intended to return it. So here, Rav Eider is makel even by an afal chatila, even the yesh mekilim of the Mishnah Berurah. Again, kimdumani that Rav Nevinsov also followed that position as well, that one could be lenient. So this is a big heter in practical terms. What's the big heter? You have kugel that's sitting in the fridge, so you're allowed to put it down next to the fire so that the kugel will warm up a little. It can't be, as we're going to see shortly, putting it on the same place of the blech where food could cook. That we're going to see shortly, that won't be acceptable. But if it's an area that the food would not cook, so then in such a case, then it would be acceptable. Talk about cold kugel, that's going to be acceptable. Before I take a question, let me just clarify a little bit more, and then I want to take all of your questions. So if you take a look, Rabbi Ribiet points out that there are three areas of the blech on page 643 and 644. The blech is not equally hot over its entire surface. Invariably, some parts of the blech are hotter than others, depending on the proximity of the flame. He argues there are three areas on the blech. Directly over the flame, not over the flame, but yatso ledes. Not over the flame, it's warm, but it's not yatso ledes. So therefore, he says, no food or liquid cooked or raw may ever be placed on this area of the blech for the first time on Shabbos. Hanafa lechatchila is going to be aser. For example, one may not remove a baked potato kugel from the fridge, oh wow, bar shekivanti, and place it on this area of the blech. I meant the kugel, bar shekivanti. Okay, two, the second area, not over the flame, but yad soledes. This means that the area is not hot enough to cause the food in the pot to become yad soledes. This area of the blech is identical to the first area with the exception of magus. However, as this part of the blech is otherwise identical to the first part, and one may not, and therefore you won't be able to even to do chazara on the next part. Number three, if it's not over the flame, but it's warm, it's not yatzoledes, then that, in such a case, the halacha would be that one would be allowed to return to and put the food on that area. That is how Rabbi Ribiet presents it. Oh, so this is the way Rabbi Ribiet presents. The question is whether Rabbi Eider would agree with that, right? Because Rabbi Eider had said on 356, going back, he said as follows. He said, therefore, one may place a pot on the stove opposite the fire, even though it's not garfu katun, even in a place which is yad soledes bo, a place which is yad soledes bo. Tof kuf tzad yalef, ramah sov sifvei, zikasa mishaburam, makum shayad soledes, v'yen yad soledes bo, afilu b'shabes shari. So, over here, I think there are the machlokis revolves around, or might not be a machlokis, it revolves around the following question. Could you differentiate between two different types of places on the blech? Do you say that the blech, there's an area where you have the fire, and then you have an area that's next to it, that's yatzo ledes bo, and that's already samuch? That's not considered putting on the fire directly. So what Rabbi Ribiet is saying is that al pi halacha, we don't differentiate between on the fire itself and another area which is not directly on the fire and is yad soledes bo. The area that's not yad soledes bo is considered off the blech entirely. Hence, he's not there over there. But if it's an area which the is yad soledes bo, it's all considered al gabei ha'esh. That's what Rabbi Ribiet is assuming. Smachlazeh is no one less than Rav Nevinsov Shlita agrees with that. He writes on page 40, Nira, the Pach HaNotun Al Agaz, Sherach Chelet Min HaShalhevet Lukov. This is in your Mishnah, where you have the Mishnah Berurah right before the Shmir Shabbos. Mikol Mokom Yesh Lachosh Lechumra, Shachol Nechshav Ka'ala'esh, Mifnei Shemefazer HaChom, Allah, Ve'ein Lahamid Olav Zir Allah, so Rav Nevinsov says that you're not allowed to put it on an area that's Yad Soledes Bo, even if it's not directly on top of the fire. So it would seem to me that that is exactly what Rabbi Riviat is saying as well. And Rabbi Eider might not be disagreeing, because Rabbi Eider didn't say that he was talking about on the blech. Rabbi Eider said an area that's off the fire. So he wasn't talking about a blech, it would seem to me. And therefore, I'm not aware of anybody in these poskim. It could be Rav Willard Shlita might have a different position in this regard. I recall from a time, but I just forgot to look it up in Mordechai. Maybe we'll come back to that. We'll revisit that if it's worthy for us to come back to it. But the standard Kitzer Svarim say that at the end, and the Rav Nevin Sal's also this position, that when you have a blech, so then in such a case, any area on the blech that's Yad Soledes Bo that will be able to cook the food is considered ala esh, and therefore one that would not qualify as smicha, which is mutter. So even though we learned that we could follow the lenient opinion, that we saw that the Mishnah Berurah and others are makel, that say that smicha is mutter when it comes to achzara, that's only going to be smicha where it's not on the same area. But if we're talking about an area where the heat is spreading out like a metal blech, so then in such a case, then that would be all considered agave esh. However, if we're talking about so far off of the metal where there isn't Yad Soledes, so Rabbi Eider is, Rabbi Riviat is mechadish, that's considered already off. And therefore, it's as if it's the counter. So there you're allowed to put it on. But anything else that is that has the heat of Yad Soledes would qualify as al ha'esh. Yeah, okay, well, yes. There were a few questions, and now we're ready for them. Go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify. Yes. So basically, Lomai said, anyone to put the potato kugel in any place that will become Yad Soledes Bo is aser?
Correct. To put the area where the food become Yad Soledes Bo, according to both Rav Nevin Sal and Rav Riviat Biaser. I'm not saying everybody holds that way. I'm saying what they say.
But yeah. This is all hanachalachachila, but meaning if it was on the fire, you follow all the...
Right. If, however, of course, you follow we're talking about taking it out of the fridge. If, however, you have daitel hafzir and so on and so forth, which we haven't discussed yet, we'll spell out shortly, in other words, shortly in a couple of shiurim, so then, in such case, you're allowed to put it back, because then you're allowed to put it back directly on the fire. But going from the fridge onto an area of Yad Soledes Bo, according to these poskim, are going to be awesome. We will revisit this on Thursday. I do want to discuss, even if they're Holkin, for sure that I want to give you the whole picture. When I learned the Sugya, I just learned it the way I was most familiar with it. Yeah.
So, Rabbi said that if you put it on a place that does not get Yad Soledes Bo, let's say you're putting it on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's this Chiddush of Smicha that we have? Is it?
The Chiddush of Smicha is that even though it's next to the fire, that you might want to become to be Chote B'Gacholim, once it's anyhow not reach doesn't reach Yad Soledes Bo, then we're not Choshesh that you're going to be Chote B'Gacholim. That's the svara to be made. Okay.
Is it for a hot plate? Is there any place that's not Yad Soledes Bo?
Oh, so we'll Mirtz Hashem will discuss. Yeah, no, presumably on a hot plate, everything's diffused entirely. The question with the hot plate is maybe it's
Yad Soledes Bo. You're touching it, it'll hurt.
Right, right. So the
hot plates get really hot.
Right. So the question is. Is a hot plate fully garfakatum? Is it not garfakatum? And what is there room to be matzdik hanach lechatchila? Maybe it's not that there have to be mevashel on it, so it might be even better. That Mirtz Hashem we'll pick up with. Okay. So I apologize, we're not yet up to the hot plate, but we're going to get there. Could be a hot plate, it's going to be even better. That's the point. Right? If it's not the derech in general, you can use a vashar on it, it could be that's even better.